Thank you, Dean, and we're going to jump right into some music here. This is a Thomas Helton composition with lyrics composed by Danielle Reich and, of course, joined, as Dean mentioned, by Mr. Higgins. Let's hear Tango 1.
Enchant the night, conceal the light from your eyes. The wavelets splash and flirt, tempt the shore's sandy silence. A stillness born of night entreats the sun, stay your rise. The waters dance and sing, the solemn skies beg the stars to stay. Oh, do not stray. There is time, there is time. Now in frantic step, night must linger yet. Await the final hour. Swirling, whirling now, now slowing down as the tide recedes.
Music by Thomas Helton, lyrics composed and sung for us by Danielle Reich. As Mr. Dalton was mentioning earlier, the Michelle Bronwyn Dance Ensemble is a group that thoroughly integrates music and dance, and there may not necessarily be a specific dividing line between the two of them, which we are going to ask Michelle and Thomas about right now. Talk a little bit about jazz choreography in general, a challenging item.
Choreography to jazz?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, actually, it's pretty exciting, and I think what we normally do is, traditionally in jazz, you have the head, and then you have sections, the melody or the head, and you have sections where you improvise. And usually I will anchor some choreography off the melody, so I know that there are some sections of choreography where I'm going to get a certain synthesis of the music and the movement. And then in the other sections, we'll anchor off of something else, like the bass line or the line that the drummer is playing. And it frees the musicians up to be able to respond to what's going on the stage. So we kind of have a little back and forth, and we get the best of both worlds.
So, Thomas, when you're up there on the stage, how much of what you're playing is on the sheet, and how much of what you're playing just comes out of your very talented mind and hands, you know, spontaneously?
Oh, Eric, you do go on. it depends. Working with Michelle Brangwyn for several years now, each piece is different, and it depends on what we're trying to go for, depending on the subject matter that we're writing about, or just any kind of creative ideas that she has going into it. And then we work from just maybe a very simple idea, and we just develop from there. You know, sometimes it's totally written out. Everything's written out. Sometimes, like the show we're doing on Sunday, it's totally improvised. It started with a segment from an intro on my third record, and it's just the sounds that I made really affected Michelle in a certain way, and she wanted me to develop it from that, so that's what I did. And it's just the intro from this tune called Petrified Wood, and she liked the sound. She said, "Can we work from that?" And we did, and I think it came out really good. Michelle really was stretching on this one because improv dance is, you know, it's a little tricky, and she and her dance company just came through. It was just amazing, you know, to see them with no, you know, really nothing to go from, and then come up with all these great dance ideas and shapes on the spot. It's just a beautiful thing to see.
Let's give the audience just an idea of how tricky that might be. I'm going to ask Mr. Helton and Mr. Higgins to give us just a little sample of Petrified as we're going to hear this coming Sunday evening. So, fellas, go right ahead. A little sampling of Petrified, a composition in tune with improvised dancing, put together by Thomas Helton and Michelle Brangwyn. Give us some more insight into this work, Petrified. Tell us some more about your physical interpretation, Michelle.
Sure, thank you. Well, actually, the Petrified is based or inspired by a score by Thomas Helton for Fu and Thario. He has a score, it's kind of an avant-garde score where there are sections of melody, but it's collectively triggered when the melody comes back. And some of the timing is sort of collectively triggered. So it relies on musicians who really know each other and who play well together. And I wondered if you could create a dance like that. So in Petrified, there are actual sections of choreography that are done together and in sequence. And as an audience member, actually, you'll be able to see that easily because there's a lot of movements that are in unison, and those are all choreographed. So you can, you know, if you want to have fun and pick out what is set beforehand, that's one way of telling. And there are fragments or phrases of choreography that are linked together, sort of like a jazz melody. But they're collectively triggered. So we never actually know when the choreography is going to come back. We don't know who's going to start it. And we don't always know the timing because we're also playing with what they're doing. So while there are sections of sequences of movement that are the same every time, the piece feels and looks differently. The timing is changing, and there are actual sections of just pure improvisation. The dancers responding to the musicians responding to the dancers, and then interspersed with that are these sequences of choreography that come back collectively. So
right.
It's an interesting challenge.
Right, which is similar to a writing style. I don't know where or when it came from, but years ago I thought, why do jazz musicians have to play the melody, take a solo, and then take the melody? I don't understand that. Why can't we have melody, some solo, some more melody, some more soloing? And I started sort of evolving from that mindset, rather than just having, okay, here's the melody at the beginning and the end, and everything in the middle is just the solo. And I thought, well, how great would it be to write a melody, you know, write segments of a melody, and then depending on the player, because I'm really big about writing tunes for specific players. And so when I write the melodic sections, I try to write around that person's style. So they'd play the melodic section, and then they would improvise, and then they'd play that melodic section. So, you know, theoretically, since I wrote it for that person, it'll sound like one through composed piece to some degree. And like Michelle said, she has these sections of choreographed moments. And I mean, you have to have such a trusting group to do something like that. I mean, you have to really trust each other to know, you know, what to stay together on things like that. And it's quite beautiful.
The ultimate jazz purist's goal, if I do say so myself, absolutely pure improvisation. Now, in addition, this Sunday evening to Petrified, we're going to hear the Danielle Reich Trio perform some new stuff and some standards as well. Let's hear a little Ellington with our three distinguished musicians this afternoon, Danielle Reich, Thomas Helton, and Tim Higgins. Just Squeeze Me.
Treat me sweet and gentle when you say goodnight. Just squeeze me, but baby, don't tease me. I get sentimental when you hold me tight, so please squeeze me, but darling, don't tease me. Missing you since you went away, singing the blues every day, counting the nights and waiting for you. I'm in the mood to let you know I never knew I loved you so. Please say you love me too. When I get this feeling, I'm in ecstasy, so please squeeze me. But baby, don't tease me. Please.
Duke Ellington's Just Squeeze Me. Well, we are absolutely so thrilled to welcome some folks to our studio. Danielle, let's talk with you a moment. This is, I believe, your first visit to the KUHF studios.
My very first time. Thank you.
Tell us a little bit about your musical background and a little bit about your session this Sunday evening.
Oh, sure thing. Background, I have a classical training, opera singing. I sang in the Houston Grand Opera Chorus for a couple of years, and I've been singing jazz more recently for the past 2 years, mostly with Thomas Helton and Aaron Wright on guitar.
Talk a little bit about your session following.
We're very excited to be premiering a new work by Carol Morgan, and we're also going to do two new pieces by Thomas. One of those is the tango that we just did, and there'll be another instrumental piece and some unique arrangements of standards.
Talk about that, the cross-talent and the cross-thinking that is necessary for a classically trained singer to start singing jazz, or have you just always done that?
No, it took a lot of years to get away from the page, is what you would hear jazzers say. Get off the page, stop trying to read the music, start listening, start using your ears instead of your eyes, start feeling it. So it took a lot of listening to great musicians, a lot of working with great musicians like Thomas, taking lessons from people around town like Joe Lacascio and Larry Slezak, and it really took a lot of time to get through that. But it's also come in handy as I'm working with the experimental music, and I'm starting to do a little bit of that with Thomas. I can still use those classical chops and do something a little different.
Mr. Hagens, welcome back to the Melcher Center, and we're so glad to have you. Talk a little bit about your upcoming session this Sunday evening following Petrified.
Well, it's first off, I'd like to say it's my pleasure to be back in Houston and back here in the studio. And I've been a fan of the Michelle Brangwen Dance Ensemble for quite a few years now. And so it's my pleasure to be performing with the ensemble for the first time Sunday night. And I'll be involved in Petrified as well as playing with Danielle's trio after the dance performance. So I'll be involved in both parts and, you know, looking forward to playing with Thomas again. We played together several years ago.
And in fact, right in this very room.
Yes, you know, meeting the incredible audiences from Houston again.
You are a person that spends a good deal of time traveling around the United States and, in fact, around the world playing with young people.
That's correct.
Teaching jazz and communicating the whole jazz ethic. Talk a little bit about that. What's the state of young people in jazz today?
Well, the good thing is there are quite a few of them that are involved in jazz through junior high schools, colleges. In fact, over the weekend I played at the Savannah Jazz Festival with the University of North Florida Jazz Ensemble, an incredible group, actually undergraduates that are playing like professionals. So it's really thriving. The problem is a lot of the teaching, jazz education, and private teachers and books are aimed towards learning the tradition, and that's great and incredibly important. But the thing that's missing is reminding everyone that they have to take that tradition and develop it and turn it into their own. And so that's kind of what I talk about. They get enough of the tradition from their regular classes and teachers, so it's kind of my mission to remind them to be their own personality and bring that out. So it's a great experience for me. It keeps me feeling and playing young, hanging out with the jazz youth of the world.
And when a young person comes up to you and says, "I love your sound, I want to do what you do, go around the world and play great jazz and make a living at it and have fun," what is your usual advice for them?
To find their own sound, because their own sound, the way they play, is their product. And if you're the only one in the world that has that product, then everybody who wants that product has to come to you, and that will ensure that the bills get paid on time, you know, which is the goal of everyone, is to get the bills paid and maybe have a little left over for, you know, something fun. So I stress the fact that they have to develop their own sound, and that will enable them to do what they just described that they want to do, you know.
Thomas, you want to chime in on that a little bit? You do so quite a lot of teaching as well.
I concur.
Guiding. Thank you.
Everything
for that.
Tim said. I don't teach too much. I don't really consider myself much of an educator in the grand scheme. I guess if I had a philosophy, it's similar to Tim's. It's more about the progress. I feel like, you know, the education system sort of focuses mostly on the tradition, but they don't really tell you what to do now, you know. So consequently, a lot of players that come out of school, they sound a lot like the greats, the great jazz heroes, but they don't really have anything of their own going on. So I try to, when I do teach, my rule is I only teach one student at a time. So I, you know, but I only teach somebody that's very, very serious, and I'm mostly trying to progress them beyond, you know, beyond the tradition, and, you know, use that, know your history, know your instrument, know the theory, know everything, now move forward, you know, because that's what the jazz greats were all about. It was always move forward, always move forward. Don't go backwards, go forwards. You know, the greats, Coltrane, Miles, all of them, always move forward, move forward. So that's what I try to tell people, is to, you know, keep growing, keep developing, keep moving forward, develop your own voice, like Tim says, find your own sound and whatnot, because everybody's different. Everybody's a different player.
Words to Live by bassist Thomas Helton, educator, and also our buddy Tim Higgins. Thank you for coming over. Danielle Reich and the Danielle Reich Trio, and of course Michelle Bronwyn, the sort of epicenter of the whole thing. Thanks everybody for coming down. For the Front Row, this is Eric Liddell. Thanks, guys.